in the limelight.
Letting Afghanistan slide into total economic and social ruin will have devastating consequences. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written jointly by Miria Benjamin and Masuda Sultan, writers. This article is published under the heading, Biden hammers a $7 billion nail into Afghanistan's coffin. Stay tuned for more. When the Taliban took control in August 2021, the U.S. government used a pre-existing sanctions regime to freeze the Federal Reserve assets. Formerly, the central bank used to draw on the assets monthly to ensure liquidity and to stabilize the exchange rates. The freeze, together with the sanctions, meant that within weeks, the Afghan economy was in free fall. Inflation soared. People could not withdraw their savings. Salaries could not be paid. Investments became impossible, as did trade. Businesses were bankrupt. Corrupt members of the previous regime had transported so much cash out of the country that there was a shortage of Afghanis, the country's currency. But more could not be obtained because the company that prints them, based in Europe, had to obey U.S. sanctions. And all of this was happening just as an especially harsh winter and an extended drought meant that food and fuel were in short supply and prices were rising steeply. The first problem with this executive order is that it disposes of money on the assumption that it belongs to the Taliban, but it does not. It belongs to the Afghan people, many of whom have their life savings invested in their central bank. We should also be clear that it is not their fault that Taliban are in control. The present rule is the outcome of a poorly conceived and badly executed 20-year social engineering experiment by the United States regime, accompanied by a war-fighting strategy that failed and culminating in a chaotic exit. Another problem with Biden's order is that it entirely misconstrues the purpose of a national reserve. It is not some slush fund that you can hand out to non-governmental organizations, NGOs, for humanitarian aid or use to settle court cases. It's the backbone of a country's fiscal stability. By rights, the assets of the Afghan Central Bank should not have been frozen in the first place. Or if they were, as a precaution, they should have been unfrozen as soon as it became clear that the bank was continuing to function as it did prior to the takeover. Except for a titular Taliban head, the governing board remains the same. The Taliban have made no effort to interfere with the bank's operation, change the banking law, or access the gold that remains in the bank's vaults. Unfreezing the assets need not mean just handing over all the money at once. A plan proposed by Afghan and other banking professionals is to release the money over time in increments of $250 million a month, and to monitor exactly where that money goes and what is done with it. The moment anything seems improper, the freeze could instantly be reinstituted. Instead, Biden decided to make his own unilateral disposition of these funds, a decision that has been denounced by the central bank, and judging from social media, has infuriated Afghans both inside and outside the country. regarding the $3.5 billion to be set aside to satisfy a lawsuit brought by a group of 9/11 families, it is worth noting that 9/11 victims have received significant compensation already, over $2 million per lost relative, and that other 9/11 family groups oppose this lawsuit. Let's also recall that there were no Afghans among the 9/11 hijackers. 15 of the 19 were from Saudi Arabia. And now, 20 years later, the majority of Afghans were not even born yet in 2001 and certainly bear no blame. And what about the other half of the assets? $3.5 billion that is per the Biden dictum, designated for humanitarian aid? Won't that help the Afghan people? It's hard to decide whether this is the best answer as an ethical or mathematical absurdity. Ethically, what could be more cynical than to steal what literally is someone's life savings on the grounds that you are giving some of it to a charity that will be dispensing handouts to them? As for the math, the NGOs that are intended beneficiaries of Biden's misappropriated largesse have notoriously high overhead. They pay Western salaries, require security and translators and fixers and armored cars and offices, fly in and out from the United States and Europe, and prefer to work in Kabul to avoid the difficult rural areas. According to the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconciliation, that is SIGAR, a U.S. government watchdog agency, overhead typically accounts for a whopping 75 to 80% of their total budgets. It's hard to conceive of a more inefficient way of getting food to hungry Afghans. Has the Biden administration learned nothing from the last 20 years? Consider the White House fact sheet explaining this executive order. It says, even prior to the events of last August, Afghanistan's economy was on the brink. Afghanistan faced poverty rates above 50%. International donor grants financed about 75% of public expenditures and 50% of the government's budget. Rampant corruption crippled sectors that should have been profitable. These problems reflect long-standing structural issues that predated the events of August 2021 and have worsened due to the uncertainty and perceived risk surrounding the Taliban's capacity to run the economy. But prior to last August, who was in charge? The U.S.-backed, U.S.-supported, and in large part, U.S.-engineered Afghan government. Has the White House forgotten this? If there was rampant corruption and the economy was plagued by long-standing structural issues, then these happened on watch. Afghanistan's economy prior to last August was funded, structured, and managed by U.S. Agency for International Development, the World Bank, and international donors who basically subsidized the country. If there is one lesson Americans can take away from that, it's that they do not know what is good for Afghanistan and should not be running it. Yet this is exactly what Biden has now perpetuated and exacerbated, except now he's taking away the savings of Afghan citizens to do it. While the White House asserts that its plan is for the benefit of the Afghan people and for Afghanistan's future is certainly not best served by making it a permanent charity case and aid recipient. Instead, if Afghans' own assets were returned to the country's economy, they could find an organic post-war recovery in which merchants can once more trade. Small and large businesses can reopen, homes and shops and businesses can be rebuilt, farms can be readied for the next planting season. Alternatively, letting Afghanistan slide into total economic and social ruin will have devastating consequences. This disastrous decision needs to be stopped in its tracks. finally, we call on the American people, regardless of any party affiliation, to let the White House and representatives in Congress know that you are appalled by this decision and call it to be rescinded.